Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, it's Bubba. Don't forget it's holiday season. And if you don't know what to get for a gift or a stocking stuffer, well, today's sponsor, Manscaped, has all the tools to guarantee you that you win this year's stocking stuffer and or white elephant competition. Manscaped is the leader in men's below-the-waist grooming, and they've served over 4 million men worldwide. That's like 8 million balls, if my math is correct. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with the promo code Bubba. You know, Manscaped's best-selling product should be at the top of every man's wish list for this Christmas, and that's the Performance Package 4.0. Inside of that bad boy performance package, you're going to get the Lawnmower Body Trimmer. As a matter of fact, I shaved my chest and arms and my pubes today with it. It's the best trimmer on the market for your balls, your butt, your body, and the weed whacker for your ears and your nose. You got to keep up on that or you're going to look old, buddy. And let's not forget their famous liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner to maximize your ball hygiene routine. Keeping your balls fresh, fellas, is important. You never know when you're going to get some, I don't know, spur-of-the-moment action on those bad boys. Whether this is for your partner, your dad, your brother, your friend, get them something that they're actually going to use, and they might get a laugh or two out of it as well. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with promo code Bubba. Be the ballsiest gift giver this year with Manscaped.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the sports show. Ryan, babyface.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing?
I am wonderful. How are you, sir?
I am doing wonderful. I'm getting your levels here. Just
yes.
Adjusting you down, you know, because obviously Dr. Dan sits.
I'm a radio professional and I can actually speak into the microphone appropriately. So my levels might be a little higher than his.
Yeah, they are. They're a little bit higher.
Yeah, I'm a little hotter than him.
Oh, you're saying Dr. Dan kind of.
I'm just saying I'm a little hotter on the mic than Dan. That's all.
I know. And looks and.
Well, that's debatable, you know.
I mean, you're not a bad-looking guy, Brian.
I'm a seven. I'm a solid seven.
You're really putting yourself over there.
That's not over.
Seven.
You don't think I'm a seven? The complete package.
All right. You know what? If you look at your complete package at this point in time, yeah, I guess your job,
it's a career, by the way.
Okay, whatever. Your career, your personality, your nice haircut, the way you dress. Yeah, I guess I could put you at a seven.
Yeah.
A Tampa seven.
A Tampa seven?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, but Cherryhead said 6.75 with that shirt.
Oh, okay. You're a Newport Richie six, Lummy.
Oh, thank you. So that would make me like a Tampa two.
I don't know about that.
Maybe a Plant City nine.
It'd make you equivalent to a Tampa Terry.
Oh.
Which is equal to a Tampa two.
When you say his name three times, he normally appears.
He's already here and being his normal obnoxious self.
Well, we had, obviously, Hill Jack Rick with 100 bits. We had a busy weekend in sports. Anything that surprised you?
From the college football perspective, no. I think we called that pretty well.
I think we did, too.
You know, pretty good with that.
Pa-pow! With 100 bits. Is there anything with the college football? I know a lot of people...
Well, I guess Georgia losing the way they did to Alabama was surprising, but the fact that both of them made it, was not.
I mean, they gave up, 86 points the whole year, or 89 points the whole year, and then they gave up, 41, 42 to Alabama?
Yeah, it's pretty shocking.
I didn't see it. I thought it was going to be a really close. I thought it was going to be one low scoring and a close game.
But we knew there was going to be no scenario in which Bama played Georgia in the playoff anyways. So, it, you know, the matchups are as expected, I think.
No, I think that did a lot. They didn't want a rematch.
They would never have a rematch like that the very next week.
Because I found it, see, I thought it was going to be, after that all was said and done, Michigan number one. Then I thought it was going to be Alabama or Cincinnati 2, then Alabama, Cincinnati 3, and then Georgia 4.
They could have done it that way. You would have gotten the same matchups.
Yeah, I know.
So but it's irrelevant, but right? I mean, you were never going to get a Michigan versus Cincinnati matchup.
No.
So the only thing you – and after Bama beat them, you were never going to get a Georgia-Cincinnati matchup. So I guess that you know – people can cry about the numbers. The numbers are irrelevant.
They are, but you know how – like we've talked about before too, like that pounding of your chest, you know, the typical fan that says, well, Cincinnati, they got robbed, or no, Michigan should lucky be number one.
You know, they're lucky that things played out the way they did for them. You know, I think that the committee was looking for a reason to jump Oklahoma State over them if they could have.
I think so too. I think if Oklahoma handles Baylor.
Like if they went out and beat them by 30 and Cincinnati only won by a touchdown, there was a chance that Oklahoma State was going to get in.
Yeah. I think they were going to make that big splash, and I think it was going to be something where they were going to say, oh, well.
That play at the goal line was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, how many opportunities Oklahoma State had in the fourth quarter to punch it in and couldn't do it.
You think, how long's he been the coach at Oklahoma? He's been there forever. I feel like, what, 20-something years? I can't think of his name. He has nice hair, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Mike Gundy?
Yeah, Mike Gundy.
He's got like a lifetime contract with them
now. That's what Hierarchy 65, 1,000 minutes. I was going to say, is he that guy that, obviously you can tell he's not going to really leave, but is he that guy that doesn't really have to win the big one? And he'll just be able to stay at Oklahoma State that whole time and retire?
I think the Oklahoma and Texas leaving the conference really has positioned them to be the program in the Big 12. I think, you know, they're going to have they're going to have a really good shot of winning that conference every single year now.
Yeah, but I mean, is that something? Is it going to almost turn into where I know they're recruiting a bunch
they're
of
not
those
gonna,
minor?
Yeah, Oklahoma State's not going to win it every year, but they will be in a position where they could every single year.
Yeah, but you don't see the Big 12 almost turning into a joke conference?
No,
because I know you did say that there
because
would be.
If you look at the history of conference realignment, whenever you have teams enter a new conference and they get more resources at their disposal and more. More media hype and exposure, they always move up and do better. We've seen it with TCU. We've seen it with UCF. We've seen it with Cincinnati. We saw it for a minute with USF and the administration blew it. But
well, yeah, I mean, I guess you could say too, you saw it when it was Missouri went over the I mean, they were playing pretty well for a little bit there in the SEC.
Well, that's a little different. Moving to the SEC is a different story. That's moving up a weight class completely without, like, it doesn't matter what your resources are. You're not going to be on the level of an Alabama or a Georgia or an LSU for a long time.
Well, Texas A&M, I think,
A&M has the resources. Yeah. They have the money. And Texas and Oklahoma will, too. They'll have the opportunity. For a team like Missouri, though, and Arkansas – moving in there, that's a lot different. Back in the day when Arkansas did move in, that's a lot different of a step up in terms of competition.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the Big 12 would be like once Texas. I know before they get their new teams, and it's just like,
The new teams will be coming in.
In 2 years, right?
At the same time, as of right now, Texas and Oklahoma have not indicated that they're willing to pay to leave early.
Now, do you think any other teams jump in the next year or so?
So what I think is going to happen with college football realignment is all going to depend on the Pac-12's media deal that they get. And if it's a terrible deal that they are offered, I could see a few of the teams in the Pac-12 reaching out to the Big Ten. And exploring expanding the Big Ten to 16 teams, which would then hurt the Pac-12, make those teams panic, and maybe want to move to the Big 12, or bring in teams like San Diego State and Utah State and Boise State to try and salvage that conference. that could lead to some movement. I think for a team like USF, who congratulations on them taking a legitimate first step forward the other day in getting an on-campus stadium.
Yeah, I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's a long time coming. For a team like them, they want their best bet is for nothing to happen with the major conferences, all of them to stand pat, and for the Big 12 to decide to go to 16 teams for stability.
Because isn't that kind of how it was? It's when Missouri and Texas A&M jumped, and then they were trying to redo that conference, and then didn't, like, who jumped to the Pac-12? Didn't two teams, like a Utah
and Colorado? Nobody.
I thought who jumped, or maybe it was maybe when they jumped to the ACC. I thought there was something where the conference it started like freaking out a little bit.
Well, they were concerned with the possibility of Texas and Oklahoma leaving or going independent or moving to the Pac-12. There was a lot of talks of some different things happening, and so the Big 10. 12 at the time, Big 12 has always been kind of in this flux position over the last decade because they've been the smaller conference.
That's what it was. Even when Maryland kind of jumped, there was just, it was all around that same kind of time. And I think people, the different conferences, like you're saying, the Big 12 started freaking out a little bit.
Yeah, they were definitely worse positioned in terms of media markets and things like that. But here's the thing, now media markets mean less than ever as cord cutting has happened, because these networks and the viewership is what matters more than anything now, because now everything's subscriber based. So you have to have a fan base that's willing to pay $5 a month, $6 a month for ESPN Plus to get the games that they're not playing and the other sports for ESPN to get the value out of the TV deals that they need to get. And so that's where a school like USF's in a precarious position, because while they don't have the devoted alumni base to justify the paying of the money for by ESPN for them as an entity.
Well, and I'm surprised too on the stadium and them being able to pay for it. I just, because we don't really have much boosters at USF.
So from one of the grumblings I've heard is they've got about $50 million lined up to pay for the costs. They're going to supposedly make it a FEMA emergency site, the stadium, which would entitle them to some money from the federal government. They're also looking at different ways they can get money through the state for it. And then the rest will be with bonds and things like that, construction bonds. And then the sponsorship, So those are the different. And looking at some of the recent sponsorship deals, there's some money to be had. I think San Diego State just got a good sponsorship deal on their stadium, so that can help as well.
Well, now would you go to a game being out there at the?
What's funny is I'm one of the people that's probably less likely to go out there than I was when it was at Ray J, but. The students are more likely to go if it's there, and it's going to improve campus life, which will improve the university. And so from that standpoint, it makes sense to do.
But do you think that, Bill? Because, I mean, I know obviously basketball is not a big, and USF's basketball has not been that big. Their baseball team's good, but a lot of, obviously, students don't go to baseball games anyhow. Oh. But I just don't know if the USF students would even show up with an on-campus one.
I think they're more likely to show up with it on campus than they are at Ray J.
Like, you think it's going to turn into how UCF is?
I don't know that they'll have the same level of students living on campus. But they've expanded their on campus housing. And on a Saturday, when you're on campus and you got nothing else going on, you're going to go to the game.
Yeah, that's true.
You're going to go to the game, and so that's how you can work that. And then when the tickets become a premium, because you've now reduced your capacity, and so tickets become more of a premium, then that'll get people to get off their butts and actually commit to going to games and to season tickets, because that'll be the only way to really guarantee yourself tickets.
Now, is there any of the bowl games, which bowls don't really matter, but is there any of the bowl games that kind of you're interested in watching?
I mean, the Gasparilla Bowl, you got the Gators versus UCF. Yeah. That creates a little bit of interest, although I think the Gators will still destroy them. But especially based upon USF's performance against UCF in the final game of the year, they should have won that game.
Yeah, but I think Florida's just given up.
That's the problem you run into with these other schools. But then what you do is you play the younger guys, right? You play the guys that are hungry that haven't given up. And you let the guys who are looking to take the next step or come back next year, and they're very important, that you let them sit out. You know, they've got a strained calf and they can't play in the game.
See, the problem with that, though, is that I think some of the guys will get butthurt over it. And now with the transfer portal, which I'm 1,000% against. But, you know, they get hurt. I mean, look at LSU now. They've lost both their quarterbacks in the transfer portal. Johnson's leaving. The other guy already said so they're on a quarterback that has played four games in his career. You know, it technically is a little unfair for that bowl game. I mean, I mean,
it's not unfair. You play with the players that you have available.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying that for the transfer portal. Like, you know what? Coach left. I don't really want to play in this bowl game. It's going to make all the, once again, the bowl
games
not
matter.
But here's
the thing. So the transfer portal, to me, I think if you do have a coaching change, that's when the portal should be open to all players. Only
after the season, though.
No, as soon as you have a coaching change. The players should be allowed to quit playing for that school and transfer out if they so desire. Ooh. Because more than ever, players are committing to a coach, not to a university.
Yeah.
They're committing to an offensive or defensive philosophy. They're committing to the coaching staff. And so it's not, you know, the University of South Florida that these players play for. It's Coach Jeff Scott. It's not, you know, UCF that the players play for. It's Gus Malzahn. And that's what, with the movement of coaches. And, you know, coaches are free to move wherever they want, right?
True, and
why shouldn't a coach have to be there for the entire time that he had a recruiting class?
Very true. I don't like that either. I don't, because I feel the bowl experience for certain kids on the team, you know, it's a good experience, you know, for your college, you know, maybe the college kid that's all he's going to do is play college football. Maybe, you know, the long snapper or, you know, some, you know, guy that's backed up and he's not going to be, and you know, because they do treat you well at the bowls. I mean, they get gifts.
Yeah, they get swag. Yeah, I've seen it.
And you get treated like, you know, the bowl games actually matter. And so when if your whole team quits on you, I know the coach is quitting. I mean, I think the coach, unless he was fired.
The whole team doesn't quit, though. You may have, you know, 20% turnover, but that they've got 105 guys. They're okay.
Yeah, but
even if it's your 20 best, you're still okay.
Well, I don't know.
For a bowl game that doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, doesn't matter at all. It's additional practice for the team, and it's a chance for guys to get one last game in, or like you said, have a good experience, a free trip. That's what these bowls amount to.
Actually, you made a good point in chat, Naxa. It is about the money, which I am surprised about the money and the Vegas and the gambling and things like that. Because once you start losing those players, it's harder for them. Yeah, the lines are going to shift a lot. But it's hard when you don't see different who's going to play with the lines. I mean, Vegas.
Yeah, but who cares about the bettors? I mean, quite honestly, who gives a shit?
Well, I mean, that's a lot of money, though.
But that's a lot of money that aren't going to these kids. Like, why should they care about transfer rules because you want to have a better idea of who you're betting on in Memphis versus
Hawaii?
Okay,
but then it also goes with the nil. Aren't some of those, or whatever the hell, you know, they get paid to play. And
name and image and likeness.
Yeah. But like, what if the company or whoever is giving them the money is only giving it to them for being on that team?
Right.
But they don't lose it if they sign a 2-year deal or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
That's a risk that company's taking, right? They're signing the player, not the player at that school.
I know. I just feel like
That's why you shouldn't do a 4-year deal or 2-year deal with these players if you're not certain. You know, that's a contractual issue. Again, I don't have any problem with players transferring when there's a coaching change. The problem that I have and who I want my school to avoid as a player are the guys that run because they're afraid of competition. The guys that can't crack the starting. No, because if you have a coaching, if you go from a 3-4 to a 4-3 defense,
I understand that part.
And you're a D tackle or an outside linebacker or D end, and now your role has changed dramatically within the team, and been diminished because of a philosophy change because you brought in a new DC, that kid should be able to transfer out.
No, I agree.
But the kids
that are running
because they, you know, stupidly went to Ohio State instead of University of South Florida or UCF where they should have gone, and now they can't crack the top three, those guys are red flags for me because they very rarely end up coming to their new school and contributing. And it's always it always seems like it's the guys that got forced out by coaching changes that do well and the guys that ran from competition that do poorly.
I don't mind that. Obviously, like you said, if the different coaches that come in and change the whole thing, I mean, you know, if you're expecting a run and gun and an offense and then they come in with that, you know, pound the ground and you're a wide receiver, I get that part. I guess I'm more talking about the guys that get their hurt feelings. Like you said, they go to Alabama. But then it all goes back to the recruiting aspect where, yeah, those guys leave, but Alabama is now going to be saying, oh, yeah, we're the number one, every year, and that gives a big name, and it still keeps attracting. I don't know. I think the college football is hitting a slippery slope. I think they're allowing certain things and not allowing others.
Well, like of course, and it's all designed to protect the money schools, you know, the money universities. Even these portal rules and what they want to do, they're talking about allowing teams to take an extra 7 kids on scholarship in this year's cycle because there's the kids that are getting hurt are the high school kids.
Yeah.
By all of this, because the portal is just overloaded with kids guys.
It kind of hurts the smaller schools too.
It hurts them in a sense.
And the JUCOs.
It can help. It just depends upon where your school's at. So if you have a very stable roster, then and you lose a couple key guys, then that does hurt. But for a school like USF that is in this kind of transitionary, you know, 2-10, looking to rebound quickly, the portal can be a huge help. But for a school that is kind of middle of the road, like an ECU, I don't see them getting a lot of benefit from the portal.
No, but you could even say the guy, the Michigan State running back that left, Vanderbilt or no, Wake Forest.
Right.
And he just left, but like you said, he left because of the coaching and different things like that.
Yeah.
And then he came out and became a stud.
Yeah,
at Michigan
that happens.
State.
Look at the kid that left Colorado. I think they had a coaching change. Jared Mangum came to USF and absolutely dominated. You see that. You see that more often than not, that the kids are, and this is just my observation, that the kids are that are switching because of coaching changes are doing much better at their new school than the ones that are running from competition.
Now, what do you think of the Notre Dame hire?
I think it's a great hire from an energy perspective. I think the players love it. I think he has a chance to be successful there.
Do you think it's funny that none of the assistants, I don't believe any of them followed Brian Kelly?
Yeah, that's interesting, right? You don't see that normally, very often.
Normally the assistants like
at least one
four.
Or two.
Yeah,
at least your offensive coordinator will come with you or something like that. Yeah, that's interesting. That's a pretty big indicator that he wasn't very well liked.
Yeah, because I remember when the offense coordinator, or like it was Greg Fry, and those guys went to West Virginia. And then when the West Virginia coach got hired on at Michigan, they left West Virginia with him. And then when Michigan, he got fired, they still followed him to the next school. He went Arizona.
Yeah, Bob Shoup followed James Franklin as his DC from Vanderbilt to Penn State. We see it often. What's interesting is it seems like those assistant coaches and DCs and OCs, the coordinators, they don't last as long at the new school as the head coach does.
Yeah.
They're the ones that seem to go out first.
Well, and I think you said it or someone said that I guess Notre Dame didn't really, their, you know, boosters and everything didn't like Brian. I guess he's a dick.
He is a dick. I don't, you know, I think that it was kind of a mutual parting of the ways there, that they both realized he had taken them as far as they were going to go. For me, if I'm Brian Kelly, it's a great move, not just from a financial perspective, but Notre Dame is limited until they join a conference. And we've seen it, we're going to keep seeing it, that they will be hurt by the fact, more often than not, hurt by the fact that they're not in a conference and helped by it. Because they're relying on teams in front of them, and they're going to be relying on teams in front of them to lose every year rather than them controlling their own destiny and be able to play their way into the college football playoff.
What do you think of Brian Kelly with his fake Southern accent?
I mean, you know.
hey, man, y'all, I've been living in Ohio for so long, but I'm going to recruit you boys down here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of, I mean, doesn't that show that he's just how fake he is?
I don't know that he's fake, quote unquote fake. He's, you know, he's a successful head coach. He hasn't, you know, he hasn't failed wherever he's gone. He's done well. It just, you know, sometimes things can get stale, and I think he got a little stale at Notre Dame. I don't think there's many top 20 teams that wouldn't have been 11-1 with their schedule this year. Their best victory was over Wisconsin. You know, I just, it was probably the right time for both of them to make the move. And I think Notre Dame will end up in a conference at some point here in the near future.
Which one do you think they go to? Whatever one's the biggest, pays the most?
Well, if they want more money, they got to go to the Big Ten. If they want to keep their historic scheduling, they've got to go to the ACC. The problem, the ACC grant of rights is very prohibitive. So their TV deal runs through 2036, and the grant of rights that each university signed there entitles the conference to all of their home game TV revenue for the entirety of the contract period, so until 2036. So that's why you're not going to see any teams leaving the ACC anytime soon. It's just not going to happen. Like Clemson to the SEC is not going to happen. Florida State to the SEC is not going to happen. Those types of moves just aren't going to happen because of the grant of rights. The ACC has really solid stability for the next 15 years.
Now, speaking of the ACC, the person I thought they should have hired a couple years ago, Cristobal.
Yeah, he left Oregon and went to Miami. Look, it's a good hire. Here's the problem for Miami. They can't cheat anymore. They're under they're under the microscope. So when they had their non-graduate boosters giving coke and hookers and cash to their players on boats offshore, they were doing well. Those days are over.
Yeah, but they got the no now.
Yeah, we'll see how that works out, you know? We'll see how that works out. You know, Miami has consistently been a team where their fans are what I would call Walmart fans. You know, they didn't go to the university, but they buy their shirts at Walmart and they go to the games. You know, Florida has a ton of them. Florida has a ton of Walmart grads. And Miami, Miami has their share as well. Well, it's true. I mean, you can say wow, but it's the truth.
No, I haven't heard that, and I kind of like it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're Walmart grads. I mean, nothing against Walmart and nothing against people who didn't, you know, you don't need to go to university to be successful, but to be a diehard fan where you're going to games and things like that, you know, you're cheering for a brand at that point. You're not cheering because you have any connection to the school. You're cheering because you can buy their shirts and they're on TV.
Well, I mean, like, maybe like even like a... this is probably a bad example, but in Manhattan, Kansas, you know, Kansas State, if you live out there and that's kind of, you know, there's no NFL.
No, I get that. Like totally. That. Yeah. Like, you get that. And each school has a part of that, right? Miami doesn't need that though.
They've I know that's what I'm saying. It's a bad example.
But for a while there, they it didn't matter that there was all these professional teams down there and so much else to do in Miami. They still had that reputation. They're a small private school. They don't have the alumni base that other major universities do. I mean, Alabama could fill their stadium every single week with grads.
They pretty much do that in spring football.
Yeah, but I'm saying with actual grads.
No, I know. But you know what I mean? Like most of those people that go to those games have, you know, graduated from there.
I mean, state pride. Somebody's in the chat said, well, maybe it's state pride. Maybe it like Kansas or Kansas State. You've got four or five major universities in the state of Florida. It's not about pride. It may be about geographic convenience. You know, I'm from Tampa, USF's in Tampa. I didn't go there, but I'll cheer for them, you know, as a casual fan. That's fine. But if you're not connected to the university, it's not quite the same. And what that enables you to do is when you're not connected to the university, it's much easier to jump on and off that bandwagon, right? So they're winning, they're doing well, I'll jump on it. They're not, you know, you just get less loyalty when you don't have, when you're a school like Miami that doesn't have the alumni base. Their fans are less loyal.
How long do you think it takes to turn Miami around, and how much does that hurt Oregon? Or do you think Oregon's going to still be fine being in the Pac-12, being up, you know, where they're normally at?
I think it's a silly move by Cristobal.
You think so?
I think they played as poorly as they did in the Pac-12 championship game because of the distractions.
I think the players
knew. That was apparent to me. There was no effort out there. There was no pride. I just think it's a mistake. I know it's his dream job, but if I'm Cristobal, I want to stay in the Pac-12 and be the big fish in that little pond right now as long as I can.
Well, what I'm surprised with Cristobal, and it wasn't like Miami's job was open. They needed to have a decision. Like, that's one thing I don't understand. He could have waited till after the Pac-12 championship. You know what I mean? Win that Pac-12 championship, you know, kind of then start talking to Miami. I just don't understand it where, because, like, I feel like you're saying that the players, they knew what was up, but I feel like they didn't prepare for it.
But the problem with that, Lummi, is that universities aren't going to sit around and wait for you to do, you're not going to dictate the terms, right? You want this job, show us how bad you want it.
Yeah, but you think Miami would have fired, like, they would have got someone else and fired him?
No, but they got to start talking to them. They've got to know that there's a mutual interest or else everybody else is hiring up the good candidates, right?
Yeah.
So you can't just sit there and say, well, I'll talk to you after my season's over. You've got to have some conversations initially to discuss it.
I don't think the Miami coach was that bad.
As we talked about, you know, what I called Walmart fans, whatever it is, how do you feel about somebody who barely has, who moves away from a city for a long time and continues to cheer for that team?
Oh.
So somebody like Seth,
I have mixed feelings on that.
A perfect example is Seth, right? He's still a diehard White Sox fan, still a diehard Bears fan, but, you know, obviously because of convenience became a Lightning fan, I don't know that that kid lived in Chicago since he was a little kid. Like, why? I just don't get it. Why don't you have, like, there's no players left that you were cheering for from when you lived there. Why do you continue to cheer for a team that you have? You're not an owner of it. You're not a season ticket holder, most likely, anymore. I just don't get it. Like, you're cheering for literally names and a color. I don't get it.
So you agree with me. I mean, I think it would be kind of hard if I moved. I mean, I've lived here obviously my whole life, and I moved away to, I guess you could say, a Chicago or St. Louis or not St. Louis, yeah, but I still want to cheer for the Rays.
No, no, I get that. There's like a 5-year window where each year your fandom should be decreasing for the team that you moved away from. And increasing for your local team. Now, if you move to a location that does not have a team, okay,
then you stick with
it. So you move to Wichita or to Nebraska, and they have no professional sports teams. Fine. But if you move from Tampa to Atlanta, and you're there for 20 years,
yeah,
and you're still cheering for the Bucks, what the hell's wrong with you?
Well, I know there's a lot of people in chat, and we probably get calls if the phones were working, but. Because I know a lot of people, like a grouper lips, he lives in Atlanta area, but he's a big Broncos fan.
Yeah, that's stupid. If you're living there and you plan on staying there, you have roots there, start cheering for your home fucking team. That's, first of all, it's helping your tax base. You want them to be successful because it helps your city. It helps your property values to be in a, I mean, Tampa Bay, man, that this stuff all helps us. I just would love to hear the mentality. Cause I don't understand. I've never heard a good argument for, you know, somebody who grew up as a kid till they were 10 and then moved away and still cheer, even though they have a perfectly good hometown team to cheer for, even if they're bad.
You mean like all the New York and Boston?
Yeah, those, like those fucking God. And those assholes.
And most of them just had family. Like my family,
yeah.
I liked the Cubs growing up. One, my family's from Chicago. And second, WGN was down here when we were kids. And so obviously my other family was Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Cubs fans.
Everybody who lived down here was either a Yankees, Mets, Cubs, or Braves fan. Period.
And my family was from Chicago. So they liked the Cubs and they came down here and we watched the Cubs. When the Rays came on, we watched the Rays. Now the Bucks were here, so we liked the Bucks. We didn't like sit there and they weren't Bears fans. Like they hoped the Bears would win, but you know, we all went for the Bucks then.
Yeah.
In the same way like I did, it's like, okay, I was a Cubs fan, even though the Rays suck complete ass, I'm a Rays fan, but I hope the Cubs do well.
Yeah, and it's fine to have them as your secondary team.
Yeah.
Your secondary team's fine. That's not what we see, especially down here in Florida. It's all these fucking northern carpetbaggers that keep their primary team. Fuck it. Fuck you. Period. And no, I don't care you're from Colorado. You don't live there anymore, buddy. If it's so great, move back. If it's so great, go back to your hometown and cheer for that team. But have some local pride and respect where you live and the team and the community in which you live. So that's my point.
What do you think? What is your how long you have to be somewhere to kind of stick it out? Like, I think
5 years is the transitionary period to go from your primary team being your old team to your primary team being your new team. It's a 5 year transitionary period. And that's the way it should be.
Because yeah, Heather's. So you're saying that Bubba should be cheering for the Bucks over the Packers?
Absolutely. First of all, he never even lived in Wisconsin, so his is completely off base.
Well, I mean, Indian doesn't have a football team.
Indianapolis?
Though.
Well, they didn't when
I'm saying when he was kind of growing up.
That's fine. But how long has he been in Tampa now? Tampa needs to be his primary team. Green Bay can be his secondary team. That's fine. But it should be that way. Like, look, I understand not everybody's going to do the right thing.
Now, what if someone moves for a job?
But do you intend to stay where you are? Well, it doesn't matter why you're moving.
Well, maybe it's not a job. Like you said, it's a career.
Whatever. Then if you intend to stay where you are, if you're just somewhere temporarily, that's fine. You have no roots. Once you establish roots in your new place, that should be your team. Especially if all the players from when you were a fan of that other team are gone. What are you cheering for?
Oh, shit.
A jersey color?
Oh, shit. I mean,
a logo? You're cheering for a logo?
We only got a couple years with the Rays players, except for Willie Adames, but I mean.
Well, the Rays make it really easy to cut ties from the Rays, right?
I stopped buying. I never bought a Rays jersey with someone's name on the back because I was like, well, they're going to be gone.
Well, you know how I feel about wearing jerseys.
I know. Well,
it's stupid. It's stupid. It's the stupidest thing you could wear.
I have a baseball jersey that I got when I worked there, and it was free and doesn't have a name on it.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
And not having a name is almost acceptable for a grown man.
It was one of the blue jerseys. You know what I'm talking about? It was the first year they did it, and they gave it to us to wear, like when we worked. And I've had it, and it's just comfortable.
Bubba can root for the Packers as his secondary team. Tampa should be his primary team by now.
So I'm guessing that, like, if we go to the jersey thing,
oh Jesus,
you don't like the guys that dress up like the big nasties and all those, like the Raiders paint the face,
the attention whores, attention whores,
yeah, they wear the shoulder pads and
the attention whores,
yeah,
the original Instagram models of sports,
yeah.
I mean, look, they can do what they want if they think that, you know, it's anybody can do whatever they want. I'm entitled to have an opinion about what they do, and I think it's stupid. I think painting up, playing dress up, LARPing at football games, wearing your favorite player's jersey is stupid. Having another guy's name on your back is kind of weak. It's kind of weak.
Especially, well, I don't know if you saw the Bills. There's been a bunch of guys, I guess they go in like full pads.
Fucking losers, man. Every single one of them is a fucking loser, in my opinion. Now, when do you see them?
So do you kind of like...
I laugh at them. I laugh.
What about when different fans are taking pictures with them?
That they're fucking stupid, too. I hope they're taking pictures to clown on them.
Because I've seen going to the Bucks game, like the big nasty, then like his little crew of three or four of them. They have like a line and they sit in the... right around where everyone comes up the escalators, and they wait for people to want to take pictures with them.
So stupid. So pathetic.
So I'm guessing that I'll never see Brian with a picture.
You'll never see me with a picture, and you'll never see me wearing a jersey of my favorite player because I'm a grown-ass man.
Okay, how about this one? I have, and I bought it. It was on sale at TJ Maxx like 16 years ago, a Lightning jersey.
Yeah.
No name on the back.
So I will say this. The only sport where there is functionality to wearing the jersey is as a hockey fan because the stadium is fucking cold.
Okay. So that was going to say.
And
it has the sleeves down and everything.
It's got the sleeves, so it prevents you from having to wear a polo and a jacket. As long as there's nobody's name on your back, I'm okay with it.
It's a plain black one $20.
Then that's okay.
It's like stitched up. It's actually pretty nice. One of those TJ Maxx ones.
Yeah, those really nice TJ Maxx and Lightning jerseys years ago.
Hold on, you remember when TJ Maxx?
No, they used to get the good stuff. Like, as soon as they switched like styles, they would get all the old ones, and so you could get a $100 jersey for $16.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, look, you go in there. I mean, you could still probably pick up a Josh Freeman jersey for about $4, $5, but like you said, I don't want to put anyone's name on the back of my shirt.
No. No, it's stupid.
What if it's your own name?
It's still stupid. It's still stupid.
Just, you know.
It's still stupid. But it's, I mean, at least it's not somebody else's name. But you're not a fucking player. Why do you need the uniform? It's like, I'm a big fan of Publix.
What if they call you in, Brian?
I'm not going to dress up like a Publix cashier when I go shopping there. But I do love Publix as a grocery store.
Really? You're not going to? You're not going to put your Publix polo on and walk around?
No.
Act like you work there?
Yeah. Dress the part. You know, maybe they'll get injured and they'll ask me to come into play.
Yeah, exactly. If they see you up there and they're like, oh, that guy's got shoulder pads. We don't have to pay him anymore. Do you even know where did the whole thing of jerseys come from for fans? I know it's like for memorabilia, but I mean, one of those
some player's t-shirts. Closeted boyfriend was wearing his jersey to the game, and and that's how it started. He overslept at his house and had nothing to wear to go watch his boyfriend play, and so he threw on his jersey.
And, like,
and
oh,
everybody's
no.
like, "Oh, that's pretty cool." And then they all started buying them. That's probably how it started, if I was to guess. It's probably a football player's boyfriend, secret boyfriend, had to wear something to the game because he overslept at his house on a Sunday.
So I'm guessing you approve of the college football, how they don't have anyone's name on the back.
I don't care. I think once you hit like age 24, 25, the jersey thing should stop. And like grown men's who entire wardrobe is jerseys. Oh, God bless your soul. I have a cousin who's got... First of all, talk about
jersey guy. Well, I mean, like, look, hold on. How about collectibles? Like Bubba has a good collection of jerseys, things like that. Maybe that are autographed.
You don't wear those.
No, I know you don't wear
them. That's a piece of wall art.
Okay,
that's different.
So you're saying that you have a family
you're not playing dress up. You're not LARPing as a football player.
You have a family member that dresses up.
Oh God, this kid's got every. So his college basketball team is Cincinnati. His professional football team is Tampa. His hockey team is Colorado. His baseball team is Boston. And he lives in New York or New Jersey.
What?
Yeah. I can't stand it. Can't stand it at all. If you have, I wish the phones were working because I would love to take some fucking calls on this because I'll challenge anybody on this. Yeah, it's not hating. I'm hating on stupid, mindless stuff. That's what I'm hating on. And I'll continue to hate on that.
By the way, I was trying to keep it going because Blitz, and I think Blitz, he rebooted them.
Yeah.
And I think they were still rebooting, but we can always come back to the topic.
I will gladly take every call.
I've been watching in chat, and it looks like a lot of people disagree with you, which is I love that part.
But they're wrong. There's a lot of people that like being wrong.
No,
in
but
chat.
I like going back and forth because I do agree with you on certain parts, especially with the guys that I see those guys. I'm like, come on. You guys are just the guy made a bot. I remember the Big Nasty and whatever. He might be the nicest guy. I met him at the gym. Like he was managing the gym. He never even looked like he worked out, but he was the manager at the Gold's Gym. He had his own bobblehead, like pitchers everywhere. And he walked around it like he was a celebrity and you couldn't.
I mean, he kind of is because people are doofuses and mark out to somebody like that, Look, Calta gets people to go to his stupid concerts. There's a lot of marks out there. And there's a market for marks, man. And you can find them everywhere,
You don't like the 80s cover bands?
I mean, come on. The people that go to listen to shitty music because of the fucking idiot who's singing, who has barely any talent and is singing it, give me a break. You're a mark. And it's okay. It's okay to be a mark. It's okay.
What?
You don't need to apologize. Professional wrestling still has fans. You're all marks.
Oh, what's your feelings on professional wrestling?
If you're a grown adult, you shouldn't. I mean,
but
really,
is that what everyone is a grown adult pretty much that goes to those?
They may be grown, but they're not adults.
I mean, I went to WrestleMania. There was a lot. I mean, without kids and things like that, I got free tickets.
Okay, that's a little different.
Well, yeah. I mean, I never seen it.
T-shirt Will with 100 bits.
But Riddle's manager got us some free tickets, and we kind of sat with him, and he had.
That's
to be there.
Different. You're going with somebody who's a friend of the show and a business acquaintance. That's a little different. You're not like watching every week and tweeting about the changing storylines, right? And how somebody named like Beck Rawlings or whoever the people are now would destroy this person in a fight.
Listen, oh man, I wish.
If she ever got her shot at Asa Akira, she would destroy her.
Oh man, now you're talking wrestling. I know that like we would be getting a call right now from Tampa Terry, your boy.
Listen, brother, it's Tampa Terry, and I love wrestling. I'm a mark for it, and I can't wait to see who John Cena fights next at Super Slam Summer Fest. Come on, grow up. And look, you can casually, if you casually like watching it, that's fine. Whatever. You like, it's a little, you know, drama, storyline, whatever. Whatever.
So, I mean,
but if you're a fanatic, if you're dressing up to go to wrestling events, oh my goodness.
So, you don't like the dressing up of that either?
I will say this. I understand it more coming from a wrestling fan who lives clearly in a world of fantasy than coming from a football fan.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. Thank you, Blitz. Phones are back up. 813-90-BUBBA. 813-90-BUBBA. If you agree with Babyface's feelings,
if you disagree.
Jersey.
No, I don't want anybody who agrees with me calling in.
Okay,
I only want people who disagree.
If you disagree on being a fan when you move out. Oh, we got a call here. That was quick. Let's see here. You're on with Babyface and Lummy.
Yeah, Tampa Terry here, brother.
Hey, Tampa Terry. How you doing, brother?
Well, I just heard, Babyface running his liberal mouth.
These are all liberal opinions that I'm sharing. You know, the Democratic platform is no jerseys.
Well.
Tampa Terry, what about the wrestling thing? Our phone lines are blown up, Brian.
You probably wear a liberal LeBron James jersey, Brian, whenever
haven't bought a jersey as an adult because I'm an adult.
Okay. I
don't live in an arrested development world where wrestling is exciting and, ooh, I can't wait for so-and-so to fight so-and-so. Look, they're athletes. You can appreciate their physical prowess. But, man, there's some real fans of wrestling. Woo!
Well,
we're adults. Spend a lot of money on it. Buy the action figures. Ugh. Is that you, brother? Is that you, Tampa Terry?
He has a couple action figures.
You got an Ultimate
sure.
Warrior WWE Classics action figure hanging up from your bookshelf?
It's not about it being an action figure, brother. It's a collectible.
Okay.
It's memorabilia, brother.
Because you would probably forget who the Ultimate Warrior was if you didn't have the figure, right? It's memorabilia. It's the memory of him.
It's like having a starting lineup, you know, when you were a
When
kid.
You were a kid! Exactly! When you were a kid.
Well, I mean...
When you were a kid.
Well, I don't expect a liberal like you to understand wrestling, brother. You wouldn't know a wrist lock from a wrist watch.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand wrestling. I was a fan when I was a kid. All right? I understand wrestling. And I understand how shitty it became because I grew up. It's not because wrestling got worse. It's that I got better. Okay? And so be better, Tampa Terry. That's all I'm asking of you. Be better, brother.
You're the one who goes to Hillary Clinton rallies, brother.
Never would do that either. Wouldn't be a fan of a politician.
Mark.
I wouldn't be a mark for anybody.
Tampa Terry, I always love it, but we're going to keep
mark,
it.
We got we're blowing up, Tampa Terry. We got other callers. Take care, buddy.
Thanks, Tampa Terry. Cherry had $50 cash. Let's hang up on Tampa Terry. Sorry, you know, it's just the rule of the game. You're the man, Tampa Terry.
Have you hung up on him yet? What the fuck?
Sorry. I think this is a Jersey guy here.
No, I'm not a Jersey guy. It's T-Shirt Will. What's up, Lummy?
Oh, hey, T-Shirt Will. How's it going?
T-Shirt Will.
That was a different.
What's up, Babyface?
The other person.
Hey, man, I got to ride with you on that fan thing you were talking about earlier. I know a guy that is a Gator fan and watches Gator football, but when it comes to college basketball, he's a Duke fan. How can you do that?
You shouldn't.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all. And a guy that's worked for me for 20 years from Jersey. He's a Chicago Bears fan, Philadelphia Flyers fan, and he likes the Miami Hurricanes. Now, riddle me that.
He's a front runner bandwagon guy.
Yeah, he picked the guys that were good in the 80s.
Yeah, he sounds like he got stuck. Now it's not very fun to be that guy.
Yeah.
No.
All those teams suck now.
You know what? Why doesn't that? You know, kudos to him for his commitment. I'm sure he's in a loveless marriage, too, and he has been for 20 years because the guy doesn't seem to give up on things that aren't working for him.
Well, I'm not gonna say you're wrong.
Well, it looks like you nailed that one.
I mean,
clearly
the guy's committed to what he started with. You know,
yeah,
he really is.
He still has VHS tapes. He's like, I'm not buying into that new fangled technology.
He's not moving to the DVD.
That's it.
I mean, he just got a cell phone last year. So
how old is this guy?
Let me ask you this: how nice is his mullet, and how awesome are his Oakleys?
He has no mullet. He's bald, and he's 45.
Well, God bless him.
He's got to move on.
As far as like USF in Miami getting stadiums on campus, it's about time for one, and for two, Miami gets a stadium on their campus, they're going to own South Florida recruiting. Those kids are going to stay home and play there.
Why? What's the difference for them, though? It's not like they have this giant student body.
Yeah, they might as well just go to FAU, FIU.
No, they shouldn't do that either.
But I'm saying if you want to stay in Miami.
So here's the real issue for the Florida teams, and we're seeing it across the board, is that I think I heard something the other day, like something like 7 out of 10 of every Florida like top 300 kids going out of state.
Really?
So, yeah, like 6 out of 10, something like that. So you've got so much of the talent is leaving the state. And they're coming back through the portal, but by the time they get back, they're damaged goods.
But it didn't used to be that way. You remember the 90s, you know, when
Schnellenberger
and Miami were riding high.
Schnellenberger cut off I-4 and down.
But there was probably 75% of FSU's roster when they won their first championship in 93 were Florida kids.
Yeah.
That's how it always was.
And it was that way for the next two.
Well, but you look at Florida the same way that Miami. Miami won all that from all pretty much South Florida kids.
They're still getting local kids for the most part, but they're not getting the top tier local kids. And that's the issue. Their rosters are probably still 80% Florida. But they do recruit nationally, but the top level kids are leaving the state, and that's what's hurting. Like, look at the state of Florida college football right now. The state of Florida. Florida, Florida State, Miami, USF, UCF, all not where they were 5 years ago.
Actually, you know what?
5-6, 6-6, and it's ridiculous. It doesn't need to be that way. We've got to figure out some way to keep these kids here and have them play for these schools. And
hookers and blow. That's what built them, and that's what will bring them back to greatness.
This is the first time, this is October, but Florida College was not in the top 25. It's been 10 years.
Yeah. It's the times they are a-changing. Times they are a-changing. And not for the best.
Well, I guess I need to write a check to the booster club up there so they can go ahead and get Tallahassee where it needs to be.
How many Miami Hurricanes jerseys do you own, sir?
No, he's a Florida State guy.
Oh, I thought he was
a Florida State fan. No, his buddy like was. That baby face.
Sorry. How many Florida State jerseys do you own?
About 6.
But they don't have any names.
I don't wear them though. I don't wear them though.
So why do you own them then? Do they take up space in your closet? Why are you?
They're in my closet.
Yeah, throw them away. Donate them. Donate them to a child.
I might give them to some kids. I do have a Jameis Winston autographed jersey hanging on my wall.
Now that's
in my bar.
That's different. That's a piece of art essentially. I'm sure it's framed or whatever. And
it is.
That's fine. That's no different than having a picture on your wall. In my opinion, look, everybody has different opinions. Right. I'm not necessarily right. I just happen to be on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that. I've got a Knowles jersey here and a Bucks jersey in my office at my shop.
Okay. So, on a wall is a good place for a jersey.
Yeah. Yes. Not on
on a man, on a wall.
At 120 degree temperature with pads.
On a kid or on a really hot chick.
Well, my wife is hot, and she wears jerseys, but I do not.
Women, totally fine with women wearing jerseys. Totally cool with that.
I agree with that.
As long as it's a woman's cut jersey. I don't want to see a woman in, like, Ray Lewis's actual jersey.
Or the one you were wearing 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree 1,000% with that. You got to get the ladies cut, and especially, like, the pink version. When she's got that and a pair of jeans, and we're going to the game, I'm like, woo, baby.
Yeah, that's good times. I don't mind that at all. Some cleavage kicking out, you know, that's good times. That's good times.
Yeah, you got them all jacked up.
I don't need to see a 350-pound douchebag screaming drunk in his Reggie White jersey.
God, you're killing me, dude.
All right, Brian. Oh. Thank you, TJ. Well, sorry.
All right, boys.
Killing me, too.
Have a great show.
All right, thanks.
We got one more. I don't know if he's a Jersey guy. Brian, do you get my invite before I go to him on the FanDuel?
Have I been getting it?
Yeah.
Not directly.
Well, do you have this one? Like, you could easily access, throw it in the chat, because a couple people asked about it.
Oh.
Even before the end of the show, I just want to make sure you're getting it. Okay.
I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, we lost the call anyhow. I think it was a little purple jersey.
He wants to call up and cry about how the NFL is fixed. And I had all the proof I need because Big Ben said it was his last game against the Ravens and they beat them.
443, little purple jersey.
What's up, guys? I'm hoping that game's away.
I think, did Brian nail it there?
I'm wiping my tears away. I'm so sad.
You're using your jersey to wipe those tears away. That's about all a jersey's good for a guy.
I'm sad. That's already in the trash.
Your Lamar Jackson jersey?
Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone.
It's already gone.
Well, you're going to lose the bet to Lummy, it looks like.
Yeah.
That one was gone. Yeah. Well, right now we're tied. There's a shot.
Tied. So what was the bet again?
The Bucks would have a better record.
Yeah, there's a shot.
Better record. We're both 8-4, I believe.
No.
No, the Bucks aren't.
Bucks are 9-3, buddy.
Yeah. We got a game up on you. Okay.
Yeah, you're done, buddy. You're done. You guys may struggle to make the playoffs.
Yeah, you guys might not even beat the Browns in Cleveland.
To be completely honest, with our injuries and everything, I think I'd rather just get a better draft pick. Because there's no shot that we are going to do anything in the playoffs if we keep.
You have no running back to speak of.
What do you mean? They got four of them.
I'm not disagreeing with
no
you.
Successful. No lead back.
Those running backs used to be good, what, like 8, 9, 10 years ago?
They have a great team if it was 2016.
Yeah, we've already been over that. We've already said that joke.
Hey, listen, buddy, we have new listeners.
Yeah.
And if you're going to call in every week, we're going to recycle some jokes, okay?
Yeah.
Did you watch the Steelers game, Brian?
Yes, I did. It was great. Okay. You know, such a good call going for it for two there. Such a great call there at the end. Well, I mean, genius. Because when you're the better team, which the Ravens are,
go to overtime.
You should definitely go for two. Put everything, your eggs into one basket.
Yeah. Or just go to overtime, maybe.
That's how I felt at first. But then if you heard why Harbaugh went for it, because Marlon Humphrey was out of the game. We were basically down to no corners. You saw the Steelers drive down the field the last possession of the game against us. So he figured that was our shot to win. And if they got the ball first in overtime, he didn't think that the Ravens were going to stop them.
So the message he sent is that I don't trust my backups at all, and you guys are a bunch of losers, and I'm never going to trust you, and I will rather take my chances on a scratch-off ticket than on you guys being able to stop a team from going down the field on us. That's a good message. That's probably going to instill a lot of confidence in the locker room.
The play was there. It wasn't executed, but maybe he feels that way in the middle of a game. I mean, obviously this week's a full week of practice for those backups to get more time. Mm. But I wanted to talk to you about our offensive play because it has sucked the past 4 or 5 weeks. Is it Lamar holding on to the ball too long, or is it the play calling against cover zero not changing and the routes are taking too long to develop? Lamar has nowhere to throw the ball. The receivers are taking too long to get open. Does that make any sense?
I think it's a lack of talent, and Lamar can only do so much. And by this point in the year,
no one's going to run. No, you guys have no running back, so they know you're not going to run.
Look, he doesn't have the weapons around him. He needs to be successful, and we're talking about them like they're a losing team, right? Which is kind of absurd because they play in one of the tougher divisions in football, and they still have a winning record.
Yeah,
they're still
in
first place.
Brian, if you look at their schedule, they have an opportunity to lose. Yeah, Browns. Packers.
Oh, they could lose out.
At Bengals.
They absolutely could lose out.
And Rams. And then Steelers again.
That's a possibility that they end up 8-9.
I still think that, like, thought we were going to sweep the Browns or the Steelers. That's obviously not happening. I originally said that we were going to split with the Browns. We were going to split the Packers, Rams, because both of them are at home. And then I forget who are. And I think we're going to split with the Bengals. So I guess from here on out, I think we go 3-3.
Hopefully. And that'll be good enough to probably land a wild card and a first round exit from the playoffs.
Yeah,
I mean,
you guys lost to the Dolphins.
Yeah, so 12-3, or that would be what, 12-5, 3-3? No, 12 and
no, it's 11-6.
Sorry, 11-6. Yeah, Yeah, that would be a wild card. We'll see what happens.
I think the Bucks are going to have a little bit more than.
All right, little
wins.
Purple. We're up against it because I overtalked about jerseys and some other stuff that were off topic.
We're up against
but,
it, little purple.
We're up against it, buddy.
Somehow you're getting clunked in chat. Hilljack Rick with 100 bits.
Fuck chat. Just kidding. I love you guys.
Bye. And we're up against the break. You know, we got big time sponsors. So we lost our one big sponsor, Seminole Hard Rock.
We lost Seminole Hard Rock, and we just got word that we just lost a major jersey company. Engorged Clooney with 100 bits.
I mean, and half our fans because of wrestling. WWE was looking about coming on board, and we lost wrestling.
If you can't listen to a show because somebody on it doesn't think that grown men should be fanatical about professional wrestling, look, you watch it casually. That's one thing. You're on there tweeting about it and talking about what could happen. You know, that's, come on. Call in and defend your position if you want. I welcome it.
813-90-BUBBA. Now, we'll last thing on college football. I think it's a runaway, in my opinion, after last week's game. Heisman Trophy, Alabama, quarterback. Or do you think it's going to be someone else? Do you think it's going to be Shroud? I think if Pickett was on a better team than Pittsburgh,
They're 11-2, right?
Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
But Pittsburgh, and the ACC is down, so realistically.
No, they are, but he's probably statistically had the best season, and he single-handedly led to what will likely be a rule change regarding fake slides by quarterbacks. Did you see that play?
That was pretty badass, though.
I mean, I've been waiting for somebody to do that for a long time now, and it finally happened, and it is a bullshit rule, though, because I think at this stage of the NFL and the NCAA, if you have a running quarterback, if your quarterback wants to cross that line of scrimmage with the ball, he's fair game.
Yep.
And I know you've got to protect the franchise, and that's fine. You want to protect the franchise, keep your ass behind that line of scrimmage.
Have better offensive line.
The second you cross that line of scrimmage, you are fair game, and you get treated just like any other player on the field. And that will. I mean, all of a sudden, somebody like Lamar Jackson becomes pretty worthless because he won't make it through a season, or he'll just have to stay in the pocket, and then why have him?
Because, I mean, he's leading rusher,
but,
too.
But if you're going to have that, you're going to have a Taysom Hill for the Saints now be a starting quarterback where he's essentially just a running back, then he's a fucking running back.
Yeah, he's open
the
target.
The second you cross the line, you're a fucking running back, okay? Deal with it.
I mean, I think if he's on the ground, like, if his knee touches the ground, then you gotta, like, you can't hit him. He's down. That's a quarterback. I think if, you know what I mean, like, if he's starting to go down, it's still fair game until he hits him. Because, you know, I mean, if you give it up, you, I mean, your knee's down. I mean, I don't think someone can come in and just completely clobber him. I mean, do you agree on that one, or do you think that it doesn't matter?
Nah. I think the rules should apply the same way they apply to any other runner on the field. And we know for a fact that they don't, that they overprotect the quarterback even when he's running. And it's not fair. It's not fair to the defenses. It's not fair to the defensive players.
Oh, yeah, the defensive players are getting fucked in this whole thing. Wide receiver on anything, really, if you think about it, from the wide receivers, targeting, all those different things. I mean, there's so many. And I think the refs don't even.
Look, I'm okay with not trying to kill your opponent, okay? Not trying to cause head injuries every single play. You know, I'm okay with that.
If it's close.
But if it's. We've seen where it's really close that they actually have started erring on the side of keeping the guys in games now. When it's really close. And they're reviewing the play, which is different. They used to not review it all the time, and they would just eject a guy.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with the way they're enforcing the rules at this point. What I'm not okay with is the rules themselves.
Now, so who's your Heisman pick?
I mean, probably Bryce Young.
Bryce Young. I mean,
after what he did to Georgia's defense, he's got to be, right?
I kind of said if he shows up against Georgia.
None of them are. It's going to be the worst Heisman Trophy winner of all time. Probably of the last 30 years. I can't go back that far. I don't even really keep track of it, quite honestly.
I know,
but
I mean, you got five consecutive going to be first round of the NFL draft. Do you think he goes first round?
Is he going? Is he in? Is he a senior?
I don't think he's announced it. I don't know.
He's a junior, right?
Five consecutive Heisman winners have gone on to be selected in the first round.
Oh, not necessarily next year.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But I mean, do you think he's good enough to be a first round pick?
I mean, this year, and any quarterback could be, because they're so bad. I mean, Pickett's great, probably the best actual prospect. But, you know, my issue with Alabama quarterbacks remains.
Well, I mean, but you got Mac. So then Mac Jones.
Who throws two for three for 12 yards with the W, you know?
What does that say about New England?
It says that their coaches are smarter than the other coaches.
So what does it say about the Bills' defense then?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, does it show that the Bills' defense can't stop the run? I mean, yeah, if you run it 100 times, which you don't do anymore. I know they didn't run it 100 times. But, I mean, they lost the game without throwing three passes.
Yeah, good on them, man.
But so does that mean that the Bills are now exposed? I mean, they haven't been playing the best football that everyone thought they were going to run away with the East.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the Bills are, you know, we'll see what happens this week, right? This is a big week for them.
Yeah.
And in redeeming their season.
I hope
if they lose to the Bucks, their shot at the AFC divisional title is pretty much gone. Their shot at number one seed is gone. You know, they could still win out, but they've got to beat the Bucks. And I in the beginning of the season, I thought the Bucks were going to lose this game. But after last week,
I think we both picked this game as a loss for the Bucks.
We both had this one, the Rams, and we figured one other bullshit game that they shouldn't lose,
like the Falcons,
which was the Saints, right?
I think it was the Saints or the Falcons. It was one of those conference games that it was going to be a toss up.
Yeah. And so we had that, and I think I may have said the Saints on the road, you know, because it's tough to win there. But so they did have the one loss up in Washington that we didn't expect.
No, that was kind of a.
But if they win this one, then they're still on track for a 14-3 season. And when they get Antonio Brown back, they will be unstoppable, and they will win the Super Bowl. So it's as long as their offense stays healthy, they're going to win.
What do you think of the 3-game suspension for Antonio Brown? And do you think they cut him?
I think that it's the only problem I have with it. I have two problems with it. Number one, what happened to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? Whereas, you know, their penalty was minuscule. Number two, I think that 3 games was probably too much. But it's in reality, it's like 1 or 2 games because he wasn't healthy enough to play anyway.
I think it works out for the Bucks.
Well, it's great because he has to recover fully now, right? They can't rush him back.
Nope.
And all they have to do is get past this game this week, and then it's smooth sailing on in home for them.
So you don't think what they're saying, you know, the media is coming out like, oh, they're going to cut Antonio Brown.
Or you think what? Why?
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen where they said because Arians.
That's just people trying to fucking be controversial. And then, stupid.
Because then Arians said, I guess, when Antonio Brown came on or something, he goes, "Yeah, he breaks the rules one time, he's done."
Oh, he said that. Oh, he said that at the very beginning when he was getting heat for taking Antonio Brown on as a player. Oh, he said that. Yeah. Please get the fuck out of here. It's not going to happen. 0% chance that he gets cut by the Bucks over this. Zero.
Okay, hold on. 0% chance. I hope he doesn't.
Over this, I said. First of all, he would have already been cut if they were going to do it.
Maybe they're talking to Tom Brady. Make sure that Tom Brady's okay with it.
How long of a conversation is that?
It could be a long conversation. Hard to get a hold of Tom. He's busy. He's super busy.
Yeah, he's not showing up at the facilities for practice this week.
He's got
or last week when this was announced. Yeah.
When he
wasn't at the game. Yeah. Or after the game, he just disappeared. Like he's known to do.
They're waiting for him to just kind of, you know, get maybe mentally ready just in case. I mean, yeah, 0% chance unless...
0% chance he gets cut over this. Now, he could do something else stupid, you know, but he's not going to get cut from the Bucks. This is what Bruce Arians is going to say. He served his penalty. It hurt us. We've moved on from it. That's it.
You think the media start trying to hate on... Antonio Brown and the Bucks.
I mean, of course, they're the best.
No, but I'm saying like you know, like Aaron Rodgers is now almost like it's a bad word. You know, Aaron Rodgers.
First of all, Aaron Rodgers is a punk ass bitch who should have been getting shit before the season started. Anyways, I don't understand why he was so protected by the media and all the fucking rubes out there.
They loved him because he was in that Hollywood
lifestyle.
Because
he did a commercial, and he hosted Jeopardy. He's the best.
Well, you got to think about it. He was in that Hollywood lifestyle. Isn't his wife or
so? Here's the thing: the Hollywood lifestyle. There's a lot of pushback against the Hollywood lifestyle, especially by the NFL crowd.
Yeah, but they still love Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I'm just saying, like, now, you know, you're like, oh, Aaron, oh, that guy.
He's
like,
been an asshole for a long time, is my point. This is him doing what he did, and this is on brand for him. Dude's a douche.
So you put
Aaron Rodgers is a douchebag.
So do you put Aaron Rodgers now up with Urban Meyer in your douche list?
No, he's not that high. Nobody's that high.
Urban Meyer's all by himself in the biggest douche in Brian's life.
He's definitely up there. He's definitely high on that list. He's doing a great job with Jacksonville, by the way, though. He's not getting enough credit.
He isn't getting enough credit. I mean, they're 2-10.
Yep. Safe driving, man. Keep it at 10-2. Nope, they reversed it. It's 2-10.
James Robinson, he's looking good.
Yeah, he's utilizing his tools that he has at his disposal very well. You know, just like you would expect from a coach to get the most out of his roster.
Well, maybe he's looking to get the number one pick since the Lions.
I think he has the inside path on that. I think it's almost a foregone conclusion that the Jags are going to lose out.
I mean, even Houston. It's 2-10, which
if Tyrod Taylor's starting, Houston's a better team than them.
Oh, way better.
Yeah.
But let me ask you something. In chat, Bears' next head coach, because obviously Nagy's gone. They were asking, do you think it's going to be like a Leslie Frazier? Like, who do you think would be the next Bears' head coach? And they've had a history of never firing a coach in the middle of a season. But, I mean, if they go in and just get completely blown out by Aaron Rodgers after Aaron Rodgers already said that he owns the city of Chicago.
Douche move. Douche comment by a douche man.
But he did it. So, and if he goes out and, you know, they beat the Bears by 5 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns.
What the fuck were the Bears fans thinking was going to happen this season, though? This is my thing. Like, have they underachieved? No. They've done exactly what I thought they were going to do this year, which was be a shitty fucking team with no real quarterback. So
I think the defense is underperformed on the Bears.
Okay. So the defense isn't as good as they should have been. You know what helps the defense out a little bit? Having an offense that's fucking competent.
A better offense?
Having
yeah.
an offense that's scoring more than 15 points a game or whatever the fuck they're averaging right now. 17.
Yeah.
Yeah, 16.8. 16.8, I think, is the number. Yeah.
They did beat the Lions 16-14.
Yeah, you know, that's a and 16. You know, they're right on it, or yeah. right on their scoring average. So, you know, you can come down on the defense. Yeah, their defense is underachieved, but a good offense helps a defense.
Oh, and it's going to be on national TV, too.
What?
I mean, the game.
They're going to make people watch this game?
No. If they get just completely blown out, I mean, do they walk down and say, Nagy, get the fuck out?
No, I'm saying it's the game of the week.
It's 8:20, Sunday Night Football.
Ugh. Fucking terrible.
At Green Bay.
Of course they're going to get blown out.
So, I mean, what do they do then? Do they fire him right then and there, or do they let him just keep going and let
I hope they go WWE style and have Vince McMahon there at halftime to go, you're fired! That would be amazing. And then the run-in by the Triple H becomes the head coach, and that would be an amazing, amazing storyline.
They bring WWE back in here. All
That's
right.
it, man.
Well, so, I mean, do you think Fields is a legit quarterback?
No, I think it's a little too early to judge. I definitely don't think he's ready for the NFL.
Now, what if you were the Bears?
Oh, I'm moving on. I'm trying to get Russell Wilson or
really?
Yeah, anything I can do. Aaron Rodgers says he owns this city. Come on down to Chicago, buddy.
Yeah, we'll pay you.
We'll pay you to own this city.
I don't think they go get a. I don't think they.
Well,
get
the
a
Packers
veteran.
Wouldn't make that trade, but
no, I know, but I don't think they get a veteran. I don't think they're. I think.
Well, then they
I
better enjoy. They better enjoy 3 more years, 4 more years, 5 more years of sucking ass.
What if they get a better coach, though? I mean, you know.
Would you wait? How much do? Timeout. Okay.
How much does coaching affect?
2 or 3 games a season at most, based upon player and personnel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, even if they were 7-5 at this point, we're not. You know, obviously, it's a little bit of a different storyline. They're not going to be a contender. You could put Bill Belichick on that team. They're not going to be a contender.
So they're going to be mid-level. For the next couple of years.
Who's their best receiver?
Mooney, yeah.
Yeah.
Darnell.
And then they have got some Allen guy.
I mean, David Montgomery's...
He's a good back.
Yeah.
Who has to run the ball all the time. He's averaging, what, 4 yards a carry? I mean, that's serviceable. He's got 4 TDs on the season.
Yeah, I mean, I know they talked about, I think, the GM gets fired... The coach gets fired. They clean house, start over.
David Montgomery would be the third best running back on the Bucs.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Bucks are stacked.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's the difference between a contender and a pretender. So I don't care how good a coach of Bruce Arians is. I don't even care how good of a quarterback Tom Brady is. He's not winning with that roster. He's not winning with that offensive line. There's no way.
Yeah, I mean, no, I see that. You know, so you don't think even bringing a new coach, a new GM, it's going to turn it around anytime soon?
It's going to take them. They've got to get it. You've got to have a franchise quarterback. Name a team that is winning their division that doesn't have a franchise quarterback. There isn't one.
I don't think there is one, is there?
No, there's not. And you want to know why? Because you have to have, I mean, I guess the closest would be Ryan Tannehill, but I think he's starting to show himself to be one, right? But other than that, every single team that's winning their division has a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. If you go down the list, the Patriots, yep. Ravens, yep. Titans.
Well, Patriots may be the exception.
Oh, well, listen, everyone was sucking Mac Jones's
No,
deck.
I said they're winning
by
around
the defense.
Him.
Yeah,
they're winning around him. Bill Belichick has the formula.
Before this game where he threw three passes, and I didn't say it, but the media was coming out saying how he was the next Tom Brady.
Yeah, that was a little foolish, I think. I think that's too early to tell. I think that Belichick's done a great job managing him. His QBR isn't that high. He's got, a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio? That's not exceptional.
I mean, it's not bad for a rookie, though.
No, for a rookie, he's doing really well, and Belichick's doing a great job protecting him and making him look his best. And he's better than Tua. I'd take Mac Jones over Tua any day right now.
Well,
I'd take him over Fields. I'd take him over Wilson.
I think no matter what, the Dolphins are going to try to get a veteran quarterback, whether it's Russell Wilson, who I think is going to go to the Saints, or Deshaun Watson. I think the Dolphins are going after somebody. I mean, I don't think they should have got rid of it, even though he was injured, Ryan Fitzmagic. I think the Dolphins are a better team than what they're showing.
Well, I think they've showed pretty damn well over the last 6 weeks they are.
No, but it's their defense, though.
Well, it's their defense, but it's also, see, this is where coaching does come in, right? It's realizing Tua's limitations and putting the team in a position to win.
Yep.
And that is what a good coach can do, and that's how a good coach can win you 2 or 3 games a year, or be a bad coach like Harbaugh and lose you one last week.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, that's where good versus bad coaching comes in.
Which is similar to Carolina, in my opinion, too.
And so who's the guy down in Miami? Flores, or what's his name?
Yeah, it is Flores.
Yeah, he's showing himself to be a good head coach. He's shown himself to be a good head coach. He doesn't have, he has got good defensive weapons. They underachieved to start the season, but he's figured it out with Tua now how to put them in a position to win games.
Yeah, Waddle's good. Waddle's a good receiver.
Waddle gives him the threat of a downfield pass so that Tua can throw the ball 4 yards each play.
Yeah.
So that's what he does, and that's okay.
His QBR 59.4.
Who's?
Tua's.
Yeah, it's about the same as Mac Jones.
And they need a running back. Gaskins is not doing it.
Well, yeah, when you're going out and getting, who'd they get, Lindsay or whoever it was, you're desperate. But they've won 5 in a row, and Phil that is Lindsay. Hard to do in the NFL, but not that hard when it's against the Giants, Panthers, Jets, Texans.
But don't forget the Ravens.
Yeah, that's got to be.
22-10, too.
I'm just going to say this right now. I would hate to be a fan of the Ravens right now. That's embarrassing. To lose like that to the Dolphins?
That's true.
That's pretty embarrassing.
You know who's actually been impressive, and I've been watching the game on the red zone, is the Washington football team.
I think they made a mistake not going with Heinicke out of the gate. We talked about this last week.
And he's got that swagger now. He's got that swagger. I'm the starter. No one's going to, pass me up. And he looks like a totally different quarterback. He looks like the quarterback that played the Bucs in the playoffs. I have nothing to lose. I'm going to go out here and, if no one expects us to beat the Bucs, he's making passes that you're like, holy shit, where did he come from?
You don't want to play them if they score 17 points. I'll tell you that right now, because they're going to, well, no, not always, but.
Hey, listen, but hold on. That's a team right there where the coaching makes a difference.
Well,
three games, like you said.
But it made a difference in the beginning of the year, because I don't know that they lose early on. I don't know that they have that huge losing streak if Heinicke had been the starting quarterback from the beginning like he should have been.
True, but I think Riverboat Ron,
he's a good coach. Ron's a good coach, and he figured it out, right?
Yep,
they figured it out, and now he's got them in a position to win. And their victories aren't quite as fluky as Miami's. I mean, they beat the Bucs, which is a huge upset. Then they beat the Panthers, Seahawks, and Raiders.
Yeah,
those are not fluky wins. Now, Seattle down. And LA and Vegas rather are definitely a mess right now, but they've got talent. They're not talentless teams that they're beating, like the Jets and the Ravens and the Giants.
Well, if you talk about Carolina too and douchiness, Cam Newton after coming out and obviously the Cardinals were Kyle Murray down, but. That team is just, they're in disarray. I mean, they fired our offensive coordinator, which.
I've never gotten the obsession that Jerry Jones has with Dak Prescott. I don't understand why they're so married to each other like that. And, you know, he's never wowed me as a great player.
Really? You don't like Dak?
He just doesn't have it, man. He just doesn't have it. His QBR is 50.9, by the way, on the season.
It's that low?
Yeah. Yeah. Because he doesn't have it. Actually, I'm sorry, 49.7.
See, that's a team right there. I think the coach loses you 2-3 games. Yeah. I don't like Mike McCarthy.
Well, Mike McCarthy is less the problem than Jerry Jones meddling.
They do meet and go over the game plan every week.
It's hard to be a good head coach with Jerry Jones as your owner GM. And he should relinquish all involvement in player personnel decisions, in game planning, all of that.
They got a lot of good players, though, when you look at it. Like the receivers, and Elliott's playing a little bit better, 765.
Pollard's probably the best back on that team. And a good coach would utilize him more, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but
guess what? Jerry Jones loves Zeke.
Well, therein lies the problem. Who's been the better back this year, Zeke or Pollard?
Pollard,
by far and away, right?
Mm-hmm.
More big plays, better average,
yep.
More yards per attempt, more first downs per carry.
Didn't fumble yet this year.
No fumbles. So Zeke only has one, but fumbles.
Yeah, but still,
who's the better receiving back?
Pollard.
Pollard is the better receiving back. That's the correct answer on that one, too. More yards.
But like you said, he gave him so much money. Wasn't there a running back when Emmitt Smith was with the Cowboys that was a pretty good one, but they were just so in love with him? Obviously, Emmitt Smith is a hell of a running back. But didn't he always have like a decent number two?
I don't know.
I thought there was some guy. I thought there was like always a good number two that he had.
Here's the thing with the Cowboys.
Well, I think Jerry Jones wants to make Elliott.
Well, here's the thing with the Cowboys. They have not won since free agency was a thing in the NFL. I mean, they were able to get and keep the teams they had because they were able to control the players and the talent that they were able to get. And ever since they've had to make smart decisions, they've not been able to compete and not been able to win on a regular basis. They're a joke of a franchise. I would be almost as sad and disappointed being a Cowboys fan as a Jets fan. Because at least the Jets know going into a season that they suck and they have no chance. The Cowboys fans get their hearts broken every single fucking year. And I would get so tired of it. I would just be so angry if I was a Cowboys fan.
What fans wear more jerseys in the stands?
Oh, God.
It's got to be the Jets. The Jets always have jerseys.
Well, I mean, come on. The Northeast is just a big fucking Jim Tan Laundry douchebag fest.
Wow. All right. Hey, Brian, going on that one.
You don't think so, Lummy?
704. Yeah, I agree, Brian. 704.
Lummy, Instar, what's going on, man?
What's up, Instar? The guy from Carolina that loves tennis.
Dude, should I go to the Panthers game this weekend?
Why not, man? Any football is good.
Darnold might be back.
Yeah.
Oh no, I hope not.
Well, his fractured clavicle's better.
Come on.
He's been injured, man. He's been playing injured and without McCaffrey. So when you build your entire offense around one player and that player goes out, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, you're 100% right. I agree with you. But, man, I think we should have got rid of McCaffrey. And I think I don't like the direction we're going, but we did fire Brady. I'm not sure if that's good or bad. Never
like
when you
Brady.
Fire an offensive coordinator, but
sister like Christian McCaffrey.
I like Brady. I don't know. It's the Falcons, man. You guys have a chance to beat the Falcons unless Matt Ryan, the old Matt Ryan, returns.
Well, the old Matt Ryan needs fucking Calvin Ridley, whatever he's dealing with.
His mentals.
His mentals, man. And look, I respect somebody's rights to get their mentals in order, but the Falcons actually would have had a chance to compete for a playoff spot if he hadn't gone out.
That's actually true.
I mean, as crazy as it sounds, they've been outscored by 116 points this year.
But they
were like one game away from 500.
Yeah. It's pretty impressive.
It's just been a tough season. I was thinking about going down to Tampa for the game January 9th, and I'm not even sure I want to go to it.
Yeah, you don't want to go to that. That's going to be a bloodletting.
Come on, man. You can come tailgate.
You can come tailgate, but don't go to the game. Save your money on the game ticket. Just go watch it at the Dollhouse or something.
You want to go with me, Babyface?
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it.
He's married with a kid. Okay. His Sundays are taken up with preciousness.
Yeah, it's all precious
family time.
It's all family time.
Well, you think Cam's going to do anything this week?
Nope, Cam sucks. And you know what? Like, Brian hates Aaron Rodgers and his swagger. Cam Newton is a douchebag. He's a high-level douchebag.
He lost it quickly.
Yep.
I mean, there,
of course
you know,
he did. That's what he does every day.
No. I mean, he went from being almost an elite level quarterback to not even a replacement level player in two or three years, which is fascinating to me because when quarterbacks lose it, they lose it quickly. We've seen it with we saw it with Manning. We've seen it with Tebow when he lost it. He lost it quickly.
Tebow
had it for what? Two games?
He had it for a game. Yeah, he was a good quarterback.
A game, once. Two games, two and a half.
He was a good quarterback once. Literally once.
Against the Steelers.
That Super Bowl, he's never really played the same since that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because he's a head coach.
It's a shame,
douchebag.
But all right, guys. Take care. Have a good day.
See you.
See you guys. Bye.
What's up, Caviar Tacos? He says, go Lions. Congratulations to the fans in Detroit.
What? And if you look at our week 13 pick'em, Brian.
Yeah.
That was the game, I think. You went 7-7. I went 8-6. I picked the Lions.
Well, you know, I will say I got a little crazy. I don't know what happened to me in the middle of these picks. When I went with Houston, the Jets, and Vegas all in a row there.
I was checkmarking this. I'm like, oh, shit, man. Brian's going to run away. And then I'm like, X, X, X. I'm like, what the fuck was Brian thinking?
Yeah.
Houston over Indy?
I did have New England over Buffalo.
Yeah, you did
have
that.
And 5 weeks ago, I predicted they'd win the AFC East, and you told me I was crazy.
Okay. Well, you also... Well, there's excuses now on Vegas, so...
Well, I think... Come on. I think you would give me a pass on my Vegas prediction. You know,
how could you not predict that they were going to get rid of John Gruden?
That one of their players was going to kill somebody.
They were going to lose their number one wide receiver and their best cornerback. Come on, Brian. That's typical with the Raiders.
I will say. I will say that. I should have known that they're not allowed to have nice things.
It's the Raiders.
And the Raiders. Yeah, that was disappointing. We better get our picks in here.
I know. Pittsburgh, Minnesota.
Ooh,
that's a tough one.
That
I'm
is
going
a tough
Minnesota.
One. I'm going to go Pittsburgh.
Baltimore, Cleveland.
I'm going to go with Cleveland.
Cleveland at home. Jacksonville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Las Vegas at Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Oh, goodbye Vegas. New Orleans, New York Jets.
The Saints.
I'm going Jets.
Okay.
At the New York.
I'm going to win this week. I'm looking to win this week, not get one that nobody thought I should get.
What did you call those guys again? That the Jets fans?
Oh, the Jim Tan Laundry douchebags.
Jim Tan Laundry douchebags, yeah.
Yeah.
They went up in New York. Dallas at Washington.
First of all, they're not even the New York Jets. They're pretty much the New Jersey Jets. Well, let's
Giants
face that.
Too.
Yeah. Well, the Giants fans, more so from the state of New York.
That's true.
The Jets fans tend to be from Jersey and Staten Island, which is not really New York either.
Dallas at Washington.
Washington, man.
Washington it is. Atlanta, Carolina.
Atlanta.
I'm going Carolina. Actually, no.
Go with your gut.
No, I'm going Carolina. Atlanta because I think Matt Ryan comes back. Seattle at Houston.
Seattle.
Come on, you don't want to go with your gut on that one?
No, it's I'm Houston. Done. I told you, I'm winning this week. I'm winning this week.
Detroit at Denver.
Denver. Teddy money, baby.
I think Detroit runs that out, and I think they win.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Giants, Chargers.
Chargers.
Yeah, Chargers.
The Giants don't have a quarterback, man.
Danny Dimes. He's hurt. San Francisco at Cincinnati.
Game of the week here. I think Cincinnati has kind of been...
What about Joe Burrow and his thumb?
I think he's been exposed. I'm going to go with San Fran.
I'm going Cincinnati at home. Joe Burrow, superstar. Buffalo at Tampa.
Give me my Bucks, baby.
Buccaneers. Chicago at Green Bay.
Packers.
L.A. Rams at Arizona. Pretty good game.
Yeah. Kyler Murray's status, you know, how healthy is he going to be? Chase Edmonds coming off the IR. The Rams playing better than they, you know, hopefully did last time. They were atrocious on defense. This is going to be a good one.
That's finally a good Monday nighter.
Yeah, finally. This is definitely a potential game of the week here. Well, who you got, Lummy?
I'm going to go at Arizona. I'm going to go Arizona.
All right, I think they split the season series, so I'll go with the Rams.
Rams.
And let's get a score in there. I'm going to say Rams 31, Arizona 27.
I'm going to go 34-24. Obviously, Arizona. Thank you, Brian.
It's been fun, man. And to everybody out there, get rid of your jerseys. Donate them to charity. Stop being a douche.
And don't face paint when you go to games.
And look, if you've lived in a city for a decade, you're now a fan of that home team. Just deal with it. I don't care if they're good or bad. Just deal with it. Mediocre, doesn't matter. If I lived in Dallas, I don't like the Dallas Cowboys. I don't like their fans particularly. But if I lived in Dallas for 20 years of my life, guess what? I'm going to be a Dallas fan.
Brian, before you leave, I know you got to go. We send that FanDuel link in there.
We can, how do I get it in there from here? I'm not logged in on my Twitter. Why can't you do it?
I'm not logged in on my Twitter anymore.
Hey, here's the thing. Check out Lummy's Twitter.
Yeah, Finn.
And you'll find his FanDuel link. And I'll even play this week. I've taken a few weeks off because I was doing so badly. And I need diapers for the baby. No, I'm just joking. She's not in diapers. But
yeah, you have a career, remember. Finn, just send me a whisper or check out my Twitter.
No, just check out his Twitter. It's much easier that way. If you send me a whisper, then you got to log in, you know, whatever.
Have a great week. And thank you, Brian, so much. Go Bucks. Bubba's back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. right here at twitch.tv/TheBubbaArmy.